Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day, and we need blessings, Lord. We just ask that you would look over each and every one of us, and that you would give us receptive hearts tonight. Lord, we just pray for the wonderful service that we had today, and Lord, if there was anybody here today that left with a need, I just pray, Lord, that they would back to you before it's too late, Lord. Lord, I just pray that you would go with us this week. You would protect us, all the prayer requests that were made this morning, and the illnesses and the suffering that's going on. Lord, I just pray that you would give them grace and peace wherever it's needed, Lord, and in a sufficient amount. Lord, I just pray that you'd be with us tonight, be with the meeting as it's conducted, Lord. And we also pray that you give us anything that you'd have us to know, Lord. Make us a willing vessel, Lord. I just pray that in everything that's said and done, we give you glory and honor. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Sister. Amen.
A very familiar song. Look at page 269. Since Jesus came into my heart.
I think Mr. Wonderful's name was Morris Couch.
It was.
If I remember right. Country Boy Eddie Show was a standard at our house when I was growing up. And a lot of memories of that. But it's so good to be here this evening, and I appreciate each one of you. And I appreciate our service today, and I'm encouraged with our visitors that we have coming. I'm encouraged with the home folks, but I appreciate too our visitors that are coming. And I told them back there in the meeting that We've got visitors inviting visitors, and that's a good thing. That's a good thing. And so I know that you make them feel welcome, but most of all, the Holy Spirit. I hope they can feel the Holy Spirit here at the church. And when I see young people with kids, and I think how needful it is to put their life in the church. I'd hate to be bringing up a child today without being rooted in the church. I really would. I believe that it makes a difference in our kids' lives. I know it does. And I believe that teachers in the public school system would tell you that there's a difference in kids that are raised up in church in the honor of God and all than there is with boys that are not. And so I appreciate that today. Appreciate folks that have enough concern for bringing their children and grandchildren and foster children, whatever they might be, bringing them over to the house of God. We're glad of that today. And I thought about a sign that I saw, and it actually was while I was told y'all about me getting lost yesterday coming back from past a little country church, and there was a sign out there, a lit up sign, and I can't remember exactly how it started off, but I think it said it's been 5 years time to report back to church, and I think that's what it said, and it was referring to, I'm sure, to the COVID epidemic. And I've had pastor after pastor tell me that since 2019 or 2020, that they have declined in church attendance and said it never recovered. And they said we had people who were faithful about coming, and when the fear of COVID came about, they went home and we never saw them anymore. And so that's sad. That's really sad that took place. But surprisingly, here at Liberty Hill, it was kind of the midst of COVID when we started growing, wasn't it? And it was kind of strange. But I understand there was times that it was not practical to try to have church service when there were so many sick. But it's sad that so many the devil gave them an out there, and they never reported back to church. And so let's please pray for these churches. And I heard Brother Michael say something back there that you can find church pews anywhere. People are giving them away. And that means that either a lot of churches are remodeling or a lot of them are closing down. And if you look around, you'll see a lot of them that have closed their doors, just couldn't stay. But a lot to pray about there. But I have a little bit of scripture that I'd like to read your hearing. I told Vanessa, I said, you better get settled in because I've got a long message tonight. But I really don't. I was just kidding with you. I don't have, but I do have a little bit of scripture I'd like to read and maybe testify or conduct a short devotion on it. But over in Matthew in the 10th chapter, Jesus is sending his disciples out, and he's given them power. The Bible says that he's given them power to heal sicknesses and diseases and also to cast out evil spirits and devils. He sent them out to do this, but before he releases them to go, there's several things that he tells them here in this 10th chapter of Matthew, and I don't want to read them all, but I would like to read the 29th verses and then a verse or two after that. But in the 10th chapter, in the 29th verse, Jesus said, "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father." He went on to say, "But the very hairs of your head are all numbered." And he said, "Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. And I thought about that, and I just thought about how much the Lord values us. I want you to think about that just for a little bit, the value that the God puts on us today. And a lot of these ancient monies and monies that go back a long ways back, I've never been too sharp on what each thing's worth. I know there's a scale you can go to, and it'll tell you as compared to American currency what a farthing was worth and what different amounts of money that it talks about in the Bible was worth. But I looked at Matthew Henry's comments on this, and there was a place there where it says that a sparrow was of such small value or so small account that you had to have more than one to even put a figure on it. That one didn't bring anything, and two sold for a farthing. And in that, it said that five sold for half a penny as to what our American currency would be. Five sparrows sold for half a penny. So I think the point that Jesus was trying to make here, and I know that he was telling his disciples, and in telling his disciples, he's telling us that can't one of them fall to the ground, whether it be that they just die a natural death or whether somebody shoots them out of a tree, there can't one fall to the ground that God doesn't know that particular sparrow that fell to the ground, even though the value of it is minute. I don't guess I'd buy a sparrow if somebody come up and offered one to me but I thought about this. He used one of the maybe the smallest things, and a sparrow's not very big, and so Jesus used one of the smallest animals here, or birds, to try to make a point that when something happens to it, God is so in charge of this world and knows everything of this world that sparrow can't die without God recognizing it and knowing about it. And he goes on to tell his disciples, he said, ye are much more value than many sparrows. So I believe what he was telling them was, and I think there's a song, His Eyes Upon the Sparrow, and if he can take care of the sparrow, he can sure take care of me. But I thought about the value that God puts on our lives today, what he thought enough of us. And I realized that the human body, I've heard scientists say, and that the human body itself, once it's dead, there's very, very little value or no value to it. I guess if you had some gold teeth or maybe a hip replacement that they used, the material they used was valuable, that might be worth something, or a gold tooth or a filling. But this body that we have apparently is not worth very much dead. Maybe fertilizer. But to think that God would put such value on each one of us today. And I believe that after we become saved, I believe that he values the investment that he put in to us. The Bible teaches us that when we were yet sinners, he died for us. So he valued us long before we ever got saved. He saw a value in us. He saw a worth in us before that we ever got saved. We're bad to categorize people a lot of times. And I know when you're driving down the interstate and you see what some people call bums, or some people may call them homeless, and they're on the side of the road there, and they may have a sign that says that they're hungry or whatever. And a lot of times The first thing that pops into our mind is, you know, why don't they work and pay taxes like I do? That's the first thing you think about. But we have no idea of their situation, where they came from, what caused them to be homeless. And but we may not put much value on them, but I'm gonna tell you something today. God puts a lot of value on everybody's life. There's nobody, and I'm afraid there's a lot of young people today, not just young people, but people of all ages, that the devil has got them convinced that they're of no value. And I think that that leads to depression. I think it leads to suicide. When you think that your life has no value at all, that you're nothing to anybody, we need to realize that we are, in God's sight, we are valuable today. For somebody to take and give the best that heaven had, and that's what it cost. That's what it cost the animals in the Old Testament sacrifices were just a temporary thing to just carry us over and carry us over. But when Jesus Christ voluntarily went up Calvary's Hill, and Brother Enos Stone preached a message one time, he was teaching about the cost of salvation, and he talked about leading up to the time of the crucifixion, everything that Jesus went through, and how that he made a payment on each thing towards the cost of us, towards what it took to save us, and he went through the abuse, he went through, and all of these things. At any time, he could have called for help. He could have called from help from God. The devil even told him that when he took him up on that high pinnacle and told him to jump from there, said, you know that the Father will send his angels to get you, to keep you from dashing your foot against the stone. And no doubt, if Jesus had called upon that, God would have done that. I believe that. But in order for him to give us life and for us to have it more abundantly, he must fulfill the plan of salvation that was given. So he had to love us a lot, Sister Marilyn. He really did. And I think about that a lot of times. The little bit that I try to do for the advancement of the kingdom, and it's not much, I think about what he did for me. I'm just a drop in the bucket as to what he did for me in saving my soul today. So I want to encourage you today that that we are of much value to God today. I appreciate Jesus using this example of the sparrows that cannot fall to the ground without him taking notice of that. You think about all the wildlife there is out there, not just sparrows, but everything else. And by Jesus saying this, I can't help but believe that there can't anything that's alive die without God knowing it and him recognizing that and seeing that. And so I'm glad here that he comforted his disciples. His disciples had many questions. They didn't know what they were going to be facing when he sent them out into the world to preach the everlasting gospel and to heal the sick. And they didn't know what they were all they were going to be facing. And Jesus warned them over there in one place. He said, if they persecuted me, they'll persecute you. And I believe he said, if they persecuted him, they'll persecute us today. They really will. Sometimes I almost feel ashamed that we here in Blount County and our churches, and I'm glad that it's this way, but I can't believe we're not persecuted more than we are, really. I can't. I know that in other countries and maybe parts of the United States, you are probably more persecuted for walking with the Lord than we are here in the Bible Belt of the United States. But I want to encourage you today to, as we go through our walk of life and people that we encounter, encourage them that they're valuable to the Lord. They're valuable to the Lord. He gave the best that he had to give everybody a chance to be saved today. And sometimes when we get down in the mully grubs, or we get to thinking about that we're not worth anything, or that things are not going too good, just think about what we are in the eyes of the Lord and what he saw in us. I've heard people say, I can't see what good he saw in me to save my soul. And there was no good in us. There wasn't. He says our righteousness is as filthy rags. But he knew that we had a soul, and he knew that that soul was going to spend an eternity in one of two places. And he gave his life that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And I'm glad that he did. I'm glad that he did. You're worth something today. You are. Every child, no matter what you look like, no matter what you feel like, you're worth something today. I've heard so many people in education tell me that kids that are tormented and abused at school by their classmates, for maybe the way they look or the way they dress, maybe they don't have a lot of money and they can't wear some of the nicer things, and it's a shame, because there's kids that go through that every day, and that will, and with the leadership of the devil, that will lead one to thinking that they're completely worthless. And I'm going to tell you something today, each and every one of us are so far from that today. We're worth something in the sight of the Lord. You've seen little kids, babies, and somebody might say it's got a face that only a mother could love. Maybe it's kind of homely, but you know how a mother loves her children. A daddy loves his children. And that love that we have, and I told y'all, first time I got to hold Austin and look down there at him, I thought, how in the world could I love anything any more than this? And I wasn't crazy about babies, but I loved him. And I looked, and I thought about that. And the Lord let me know that he loves me, and he loves that boy. He loves me more than you do. That's hard to believe, ain't it? But he does. He does. That's how much value that he puts. And I'm so glad today that Jesus used this illustration of sparrows that are practically of no value, but can't one die without him knowing about it. When you and I are hurting, when we're going through something, when we're in pain, don't you doubt for one minute that God doesn't know about it. The Bible says that he knows our needs before we even ask. Somebody said, well, then why ask? He wants us to ask. He wants us to trust in him and believe that he can handle our problems. But I'm so glad today that when I go to the Lord, I don't have to draw him a picture of what's going on in my life. But he already knows exactly. He purchased me. So therefore, he's got an investment in me. Amen? And so he's concerned about me. He's concerned about my life. And if there's something that troubles me or something that's hindering me, God's concerned about that. And he wants to help me with that. And I'm glad of that today. I love each one of you. That's all I've got. And I know it was short, scattered, probably pretty elementary. But I want you to just think about that, how valuable that we are to God today. And I know that we feel, a lot of times we feel unworthy, and we feel like that we don't deserve, and we don't. I don't deserve the blessings of God. I've always said this, if he had just saved my soul from a devil's hell and done nothing else for me, that would be something that I could shout about and tell others about. But Brother Wayne, I think we can all say that he's gone over and beyond saving our souls. But he's blessed us beyond measure. He really has. All we have to do is look around, and we can see the blessings of God today. Love each and every one of you, and I appreciate you.